Reese Randall recovered well from her brush with death caused by non-adherence to her diabetes treatment.
I was completely non-compliant to the regimen, to taking my insulin, to testing my sugars. And that's when I went DKA. Diabetic ketoacidosis.
She was admitted as an emergency in a condition called diabetic ketoacidosis, which is extreme form of insulin deficiency, where the body is absolutely unable to utilize glucose. The resultant blood sugars are 500 to 600 milligrams per cent, and it's not compatible with life.
Reese's crisis had a profound impact on her motivation to take insulin, and she learned something new about her condition.
She really was not type 2 diabetic, that she really was a type 1 diabetic.
There is another condition that's called latent autoimmune diabetes, which actually has the acronym of LADA. And what it is, it's truly a person that has type 1 diabetes, but it's a very slow progressing type 1 diabetes.
Reese fully accepted her new diagnosis of slow onset type 1 diabetes and began adhering to her stepped-up insulin regimen.
My resistance to taking insulin waned because I had to do it. And I did, and I did great. I took my mealtime insulin and my basal insulin and testing my blood sugar levels.
By taking her insulin and seeing results, Reese overcame one obstacle to adherence, low expectations that insulin would work for her. And she felt much better when she was sticking to her plan.
I felt great. I felt like $1 million. So it was good.
Taking her insulin did make her healthier. And that's when Reese got another surprise. This time, it was good news. She was pregnant.
And during my whole pregnancy, I was the model diabetic. Diabetes didn't seem like a hard thing to handle when I was pregnant because something more important took its place, and that was making sure that my baby was healthy.
But soon after Miles was born in 2006, Reese's incentive and motivation to stick to her regimen dropped.
She was A-plus with adherence, compliance, and motivation. But unfortunately, as time went by, the compliance to food, the compliance to blood sugar monitoring, injecting insulin at the right times, taking appropriate amount of insulin at right times, went down the drain.
As Reese's motivation slipped, so did adherence to her diet and treatment plan. She also started to struggle with another common obstacle to adherence, an unwillingness to monitor her blood sugar levels.
I go through pockets of monitoring. I know exactly my body and the different signals it's sending to me, where I can gauge actually if I'm having a high blood sugar level or if I'm dropping.
You should not guess, not in a type 1 patient, because the sugars are too fluctuant.
Gauging or estimating how much insulin you need instead of testing for the exact dose can have consequences.
It just hit me. I feel funny, you know, drunk. I'm not a drinker, but it feels as if what it would feel like if I were intoxicated. I think I probably have to take insulin soon.
Monitoring of blood sugar in a type 1 diabetes is critical. So people who do not measure their blood sugars enough are taking just arbitrary fixed doses of insulin, which may or may not be effective. So control can only be improved by multiple injections of insulin preceded by multiple estimations of blood sugar.
Reese knows her adherence is not under control.
I am not on top of it at all. And it actually is a second thought instead of second nature.
Not staying on top of her treatment is already taking a serious toll on Reese's long-term health. Her non-adherence has triggered early signs of the complications of diabetes. Numbness in her limbs, blurred vision, and injuries healing too slowly.
You know, if you watch your blood sugars now, it will pay off dividends heftily over the next 20 years.
Reese admits that she's not sure why she hasn't regained her motivation to follow her monitoring and insulin therapy.
I don't know. I have two beautiful children. I have a husband who loves me. I have a great family, so I don't know.
But Reese is hopeful that she can turn things around.
I want to be better. I don't want to not adhere to my regimen. I want to do what's right.
Reese is about to meet with her doctor again to try to search for new options and find solutions to help her overcome her obstacles to adherence.
I have a strong positive feeling inside that I'm almost ready to finally get over the hump. I have to.
I don't think there's any one magic bullet for every person, but sometimes an individual instruction and fine-tuning of their strategies based on working with a diabetes educator can be critical. You can go from very small chances of success to mostly quite successful.
Three nights a week, Erica Orton skates at a Minneapolis roller rink.
I think people need a way to get frustrations out of their life. It's a really consistent, tough workout that I know is going to happen 3 days a week.
At 28 years old, Erica's been battling with other roller derby skaters for more than 6 years, while also battling diabetes and maintaining her treatment. But after 18 years, Erica's finally overcoming some of the obstacles that made adherence difficult. Embarrassment over her condition and her treatment, and the interference they cause with daily life. A recent study shows these are two of the most common reasons people don't stick to plan.
Yes, we both.
Erica's struggle with adherence to treatment began soon after she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 10 years old.
I remember being scared and nervous, but I don't know if I understood completely at the time. The seriousness of it, it's a little bit of an awkward time, I guess you could say. My adherence to my regimen in middle school wasn't great.
Erica admits it today, but wouldn't back then. Her number one obstacle, embarrassment about her condition and her treatment.
I made sure to kind of keep it to myself. Never took shots or took insulin in front of people. I definitely think that my not wanting to bring my diabetes sort of to the forefront of my life definitely was an obstacle. I was less likely to interrupt what was happening to go take care of treatments.
Embarrassment and a person feeling stigmatized is actually quite common, particularly among teenagers or even people newly diagnosed with diabetes. They think that there is something that they have done wrong, they feel at fault, but in fact, it's not their fault, it's a disease that just happened.
But learning the serious impact that avoiding treatment can have and finding friends and support groups to help her overcome the shame she felt helped a lot. Still, it took years to get past it.
Much more comfortable with my diabetes now than I was growing up. It's not really something that I'm embarrassed about. It's also something that I don't think defines me as a person. So it's just a part of who I am.
Despite remaining active through college and beyond, Erica had trouble managing her diabetes. Her inconsistent schedule was a major obstacle to adherence.
That's impossible.
Kristen Friend has known Erica since childhood.
I think I've known about the diabetes pretty much since she was first diagnosed.
For years, she witnessed Erica's trouble sticking to her plan.
The busier that she got, the harder it was to manage her disease.
Self-management is actually critical to diabetes because it really is the way the disorder is treated successfully. One risk that they run will be that they will wind up sick.
And that's exactly what happened to Erica. After starting her career as a teacher, it got even harder to balance her life with her treatment. It didn't go well.
It was hard to stay with my regimen being a teacher. I did have one point where I got extremely sick because I had left my insulin at home, and I was so weak from having been sick all day that I collapsed.
This time, Erica got the message.
They told me at the hospital that I could have died if, you know, I hadn't come in when I did. And I think it taught me that I have to find a balance in my life.
To help her find that balance, Erica decided to make some changes.
I had to reevaluate the way that I was taking care of myself. As my life changed, so did my treatments.
Erica found another answer to adherence in a job change. She now teaches children's programs at a museum, which gives her more flexibility to manage her treatment during her workday.
People lead hectic lives, juggling a lot of things, and sometimes they just take diabetes for granted. They have to plan accordingly, and if they plan, not only are their lives going to be better in the short run, but in the long run, they will be preventing complications of diabetes.
I think the key to my managing my diabetes is that I'm following a strict regimen and trying to stay, you know, relatively consistently in the way that I live my life. So that means, you know, regularly going to my doctor, having, you know, very healthy relationship with my food and my schedule, and just kind of trying to stay very regimented.
To help stay regimented, Erica also now takes advantage of technology. She uses online tools to help track her food intake and count calories every day. And she gets plenty of exercise.
I honestly think roller derby is a huge help to my diabetes maintenance.
Erica says her new approach to overcoming obstacles and adhering to her treatment is working.
Eating well, getting plenty of exercise, following a really specific regimen, staying focused. And I really feel like all of those things have come together to not only make my diabetes more manageable, but, you know, make me a healthier person.
Communication is absolutely essential. And in diabetes, the treatment needs to be customized. It's very important that there will be open lines of communication, that the physician understands what are the patient's expectations, and the patient needs to understand how much is doable and achievable.